The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, live on the road, Kampali, Takaria. East Brady Street, Milwaukee, a happier, happy hour. And Dom, we've been joined by a fine guest here at the party table. She's our favorite partying attorney and broadcaster. She's Maggie Dawn. Welcome, Maggie Dawn, to the Devils.
Mike, great to be
and
here
Kampali,
with you guys.
Which yes. I know you've been here before.
Hey, Maggie.
Two tree times.
So we are having a little party here, a little happy hour, and some politics. And they're having a little MAGA party in Milwaukee. What's been your impression so far, Maggie?
It's intense. I mean, it's just really intense with everything that's happened. I can feel the tension. I can feel the vibe is really, it's incredibly, incredibly tense.
And you texted me over the course of the weekend knowing that this was going to be a big weekend in Milwaukee, and I was at a Charlie Barron's comedy show and the assassination attempt of Donald Trump was being widely reported, and this was, I don't want to cast it, how did you perceive this news immediately before the RNC in Milwaukee?
I was sobbing for like 10 minutes. The word that I used to someone was I'm bereft. The sense of loss that I feel, one, political violence is incompatible with democracy. The very hallmark of democracy is the peaceful transfer of power. And political violence, if we cross through that portal, right, like there's not coming back from that. And it seemed like this, again, slow and inexorable march towards increasing levels of rhetoric. And on the right, and I'm not going to be telling the truth clearly and with emphasis, is not rhetoric from the left. Trump is a threat to democracy. We can say that and yet absolutely condemn what happened on Saturday. I was beside myself. I was beside myself from the martyrdom that he will place upon himself over it. That makes me really uncomfortable.
What about from the perspective, you're the former Milwaukee County Corporation Council, and I know you care about this community quite a bit, this city, this county. From Milwaukee's perspective, what was your feeling?
Yeah, I...
Because you feel this with more gravity than a guy like me sitting in Madison does.
I'm of here and will always proudly be so, and I sent messages to some of my friends that still work in county and city government, like, I'm thinking of you. I hope you are safe. Please do the best that you can, as I know you always do. Thank you for your service. I had reached out to my team at the Corporation Counsel's office last week, as well as the county executive's office, to say, I'm thinking of you. You have my best wishes for a peaceful and productive RNC that highlights the best of Milwaukee and the best of some of what Wisconsin has to offer. So it's incredibly destabilizing. Again, a friend of mine that works in emergency management has worked in the intelligence apparatus at the federal level, has served in the military. Her text messages, our exchange was just absolute emotional devastation.
Maggie Dawn, our good friend and fine guest here at Kampali Takaria, East Brady Street. You can be our guest, join the political party here. Maggie, there is sort of some breaking news, as you may know by now. A apparently homeless man has been shot in Milwaukee by some of the visiting police officers. We had heard it reported from our friend and colleague Earl Ingram that apparently a knife was taken out. And at this hour, most recently, we have heard five police officers from Columbus, Ohio, were involved in the shooting. Five people pulled the trigger. Maggie, this isn't certainly the notoriety we wanted to import to Milwaukee this week.
No. We'll see what unfolds as the incident is discussed more openly.
Five? Five? I mean, what?
Thanks, Tom.
It seems, I don't know, we don't know the details, we don't know all that, but it seems kind of trigger happy. We have a lot of law enforcement officers standing around in the sun, not a whole lot to do. I'm stunned and shocked and disgusted by this. That's de-escalation.
Who said they were de-escalating? Who said the cops?
And de-escalation. De-escalation has been a topic of conversation.
Well, and it should be the first. Listen, a direct threat to the president of the United States needs to be taken out. Frankly, right?
Sure.
Okay. If the investigation of this incident makes it clear that this was what looks like is being reported to be a confrontation between at least one person who was unhoused, right, and another. I would be remiss if I didn't say clearly there are some mental health issues at play there. And so what was there no place for intervention between doing nothing and letting that altercation between two civilians get worse and five police officers shooting the man?
Five out-of-town police officers. Apparently, according to the reporting of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, this gentleman was known in the area, and we don't know the details of his mental state at the time or his sobriety state, but we have five out-of-town cops, and this is one of the concerns when you have all these people coming in from around the country, 4,000 or 5,000 police officers in total, not all of them certainly from outside the city, but most of them. These are the kinds of things that could happen. It's very scary. I mean, hopefully no one else was hurt, but we'll have to wait and see what the reporting is. But when you see the headline there were five cops shooting a homeless guy.
Well, and we all know this. What I'm going to say is sort of obvious if you've lived and observed reality, right? And we'll openly talk about it. Is that the manner in which cops familiar with certain neighborhoods, certain individuals
yep.
that are high needs, that have touched the system a number of times mm-hmm. in large cities, there's a different way that they engage policing when they're at their best. And I certainly know yeah. a number of police in the city of Milwaukee that do that kind of de-escalation work, that intervention, that really try to meet people where they're at, to help somebody through what can be a crisis moment. And we know that it can be very different in different jurisdictions. So I think your point, Dominic, is well taken.
Folks, you're listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show live in Milwaukee. We're at Kempali Taqueria on East Brady Street. We've had a few friends join us. I see Chris and Jerry from Sun Prairie. That's a hell of a trip they've made, and a few other friends, the Ukrainian and others. Come on down is the point, because Maggie Dawn, our fine guest, is here. And Maggie, the RNC is restarted for the evening, and they just did the Pledge of Allegiance. And shocker, Eric Hudvey was not asked to lead. And I don't know
weird.
Why. I mean, he did so well at the Slinger Speedway that one time. But he does have a speaking role tonight.
And oh, my gosh.
Reince Priebus may even speak before the end of this fine program. What are you expecting tonight? Sort of a Wisconsin-centric platform, you know, before later in the evening they have all the didn't become the vice presidential speeches.
If Attorney Priebus does speak, as does Mr. Hovde, what I would suggest is that you take a close look at the actual content and tone of both of those speeches. I'll just say this. My impression of Attorney Priebus, ex-chief of staff for Donald Trump, has been one that is a minefield for the man. I think he understands some of the serious institutional issues. He's a lawyer, very smart guy. I think he understands, again, some of the institutional legitimacy issues. Mr. Hovde does not, and he thinks because he's a rich guy, he gets to be a senator too. Gosh darn it. So I think there's going to be a sharp contrast between those two speeches. I'll be interested to hear both.
Megan, what's been your sense of the speeches so far? I happened to catch some of it yesterday, and this guy, David Sachs, gave the weirdest, and I just randomly happened to put it on. I'm like, oh, I sit home.
Like, who dis?
Who this guy? And why is he speaking? Oh, my God. What is going on? You know, the general theme of unity has gone out the window. The attacks on the LGBTQ communities.
Well, they're all back.
Ron Johnson saying that, you know, the policies of the Democrat
threat to
clear
democracy
and present danger.
I know.
Wrong speech on the teleprompter, not my
Ron
fault.
Ron Burgundy apparently was there instead of Ron Johnson. But what's your sense on the flavor so far?
Gross. I mean, the
it tastes like burning.
Yeah, apparently the head faint towards unity was the literal definition of lip service, because I'm not hearing it yet. Again, that's why it makes me interested to hear what Attorney Priebus is going to say, because at least reputationally, he remains a reasonable Republican. Again,
one of the few of the old guards still around, if you call him an old guard.
Hypothetically, yeah. I mean, again, I'll trademark and copyright this now. Make Republicans grand again. I mean, like, it's the grand old party. Like, fix thyself. Let's see what happens. But Ron Johnson's speech was unhinged at best, intentional gaslighting at worst. Gross.
F you, San Diego. She's our fine guest. She is Attorney Maggie Dunn. Broadcaster Maggie Dunn. Award-winning broadcaster Maggie Dunn. Makes me a little envious when I say that.
You got like a second place one time, didn't you?
We got a couple of
Star
You know, they're much.
You know what they call second place? Nice.
First loser.
Yeah. Here's your participation award.
Come on back, a couple of first losers and a winner sitting at Kipali Taqueria, East Brady Street. You can be a winner when you join the party. 844-967-2789. Or if you come on down, I'll buy your first one. Even you, Gary.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, broadcasting live from Kipali on East Brady Street, east side of Milwaukee, just about a mile from the Pfizer Forum, where the RNC is going off right now. Maggie Dunn, our guest for one more segment. Maggie, thank you for coming down and hanging out.
Can I add a unity message?
No. There's my unity. Okay,
we're unified on the radio right now.
Go ahead. What's your unity message?
It wasn't really a unity. It was just going to be F those guys, but let's continue. It's not a unity message.
The vice presidential candidate has been announced. It is J.D. Vance, and J.D. Vance was a one-time never-Trumper. Compared him, I think he called him the American Hitler.
But that was the media's fault.
Cultural heroin.
No. But Tom,
right? He believed the media. He believed.
It was the media's fault. Yeah. This Yale graduate couldn't like noodle through it on his own. It was the media's fault.
Yeah, he was totally convinced and spun by the media.
Yep. Convinced Hillary was going to win.
So, but now, I mean, and that's fine. I mean, I guess if you're going to sell your soul and this is what you want to do, a little bit of power, you know, that's what he can do. He did say, and what's a very concerning thing, and perhaps the thing that, you know, boosted him to the top of the list, that he would have done what Pence did not do.
That was the only qualification on the job application, I think.
But he also had some historical things to say about, I don't know, violent marriages. He said essentially that, you know, if you change your partner's like underwear and you're in a violent marriage or a bad marriage and you get out, it's really bad for the kids. And essentially, you should stay in an abusive relationship, according to J.D. Vance. Maggie Dawn, what was your thought when that came back around again? Because this was like in, what, 2021?
Yeah. J.D. Vance is sort of the dressed-up Ivy League version of Donald Trump, right? Like, he's the thinking iteration of it. And yet, even the thinking iteration of it, that's not just coming from a pure id perspective, will say things like, I'm certain it's better for children if they watch their mom get physically abused in a marriage. I'm sure that's better for them. Well, thanks, JD, for your opinion. Respectfully, I dissent.
Isn't that kind of like how that is taught? Because that behavior is taught, right?
Of course it is.
Yeah, and that's exactly, and that it continues then if you're part of that environment.
Talk about, like, JD, are you, I'm sorry, did you mean to normalize violence against women? Is that your platform?
Strategically, what does he add to the ticket, may
Nothing.
I ask?
Nothing.
I mean, come on, but Ohio nothing. Was already in the column, I'm pretty sure.
He's gonna solidify the Midwestern vote for Trump. Solidification?
So he's here to appeal to us.
Yeah, I guess.
Honestly, I think, you know, there were reports that came out after the assassination attempt. And because I'm mentioning it, I just want to say very unequivocally, political violence, again, antithetical to democracy. That doesn't have a party. It has crazy attached to it. There were reports this weekend that Donald Trump may have, like, changed who he picked as the VP, potentially because of the assassination attempt, that he's going to change his. There was all this stuff that came out. If Donald Trump's response and thinking along the lines of we need calm, that we need to come together, that we need to stop villainizing Democrats, if that was his idea, and he's like, oh, well, JD's my guy. Yeah, that's clearly not what the message that a pick of Mr. Advance, all kinds of crazy policy proposals.
But more
are.
So or
it's
less
more
so than the other candidates?
But you know, Vance literally came out this weekend and said there's something more to this. This was, I mean, he was conspiracy.
On X, he blamed Democrats for the assassination attempt.
That was 3 days ago, Maggie Dawn.
Well, it's like 3 years ago now.
Right.
But, like, yes, J.D. Vance represents a much more extreme pick than either of Marco Rubio or Doug Burgum, the governor whose names no one can remember. I mean,
the eyebrows, though. You remember the eyebrows.
Those are impressive. Almost as good as Dominic's. That, to me, was all you need to know about whether or not Donald Trump is actually going to try to unify America and be a president for the middle class. He's not. And the only thing you need to know about how we came to that conclusion is his pick of J.D. Vance. It's a double down on the MAGA cult, which is, by extension, simply handing over the reins of power to Project 2025 and the Heritage Foundation.
Well, it was Make America Wealthy Again Day at the convention yesterday. And
How do you even say that with a straight face?
Everyone here is rich now.
Yeah.
You're all rich. You know, I've been watching the American economy for 50-ish years. I'm not an economist. I know you have a degree. I don't. But everyone cannot
don't
be
let
the
that
rich
stop
guy.
You.
You know, someone's got to be the worker. Everyone can't be rich. That's been my experience.
That's why Frank Luntz renamed estate taxes death taxes, because we all die, but not all of us have $11 million to our name, which is when estate taxes kick in, courtesy of Donald Trump. It used to be at $5.5 million. I mean, I'll just say this. Would you like wealthy people to be taxed more?
Yes.
If yes,
yes,
it's a vote for Joe Biden and Democrats.
But
if you think that billionaires should pay a lower effective tax rates than every single other American, then vote for Donald Trump. It's that simple.
I was hopeful to be a billionaire someday. Isn't that really?
I mean, I still
what
could be.
They
that's why.
Upon?
That's why is the hope that someday I will be that billionaire.
It's but the American dream to be rich and forget you little people.
But even if that's true, right? Even if you're selling the aspiration, the odds that any of that would ever happen to you are like now lottery ticket small. The system will never let regular people get there anymore.
Well.
Regular
unless
people.
They're exceptional.
On the radio.
Bootstraps people.
Yeah.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a good friend and a fine guest enjoying hopefully a tequila-based beverage and perhaps a taco. Maggie, you going to stick around here for a while at the Kampali Taqueria?
Yeah, can I talk about the Supreme Court with you guys?
If you would like.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's.
I just inserted myself into the next
segment.
Yay!
Maggie's doing the heavy lifting in the next segment. Drinks for all my friends.
No, we got two more segments left.
Well.
What's the saying? Champagne for my real friends, real pain for my sham friends.
And water for my horses?
Something like that. You know. Hey.
And tequila for Dom. Come back. More Devil's Advocates with our good friend Maggie Dawn, attorney at law. And she gets it right like damn near all the time.
I try.
We're at Kampali Taqueria. You could be too. Join us. Devils Advocates Radio Show live in Milwaukee. We're at Kampali Taqueria, and it is the happy hour. The happy hour is in full blast. The happier happy
full
hour.
Full effect, baby.
Rolling through it with a fine guest. She has commanded us to hold her over. She's got a fresh beverage. She is Maggie Dawn, attorney at law, our friend and colleague in broadcast. Tune in for her fine show. She leads into us. The Maggie Dawn Show across the Civic Media Network, 2 to 4. Maggie, Supreme Court. Joe Biden apparently is rolling out term limits, maybe, and some other stuff.
Ethics.
Ethics. Didn't mean to get so fresh. What was your first blush reaction to these proposals from President Biden? And, of course, they would take a act of Congress, right?
Yeah, certainly, I think term limits and an ethics code is the bare minimum we should be talking about, right? Like, the bare minimum. Now, mind you, there will be a case that a lawsuit that's brought if Congress were to ever adopt that and President Biden signed it, someone would challenge it as unconstitutional. What do you think this Supreme Court would do about people trying to actually apply rules to them? I wonder, setting that aside, if Joe Biden proposes these Supreme Court remedies, if you will, institutional improvements, I think we also honestly need to be talking about adding at least 2 seats to the court.
Amen, sister.
I mean, why do this and not add to the court? It's completely out of touch with what the vast majority of Americans think. The vast majority of Americans know that presidents aren't kings and we shouldn't act as if that is a thing. The vast majority of Americans know that a zygote doesn't get, or a blastocyst or a fetus doesn't get 14th Amendment rights to the preference of women. Like, the vast majority of Americans know these things. As well as the fact that, you know, bribing government officials and calling it a tip isn't really a thing.
Gratuity.
May I?
Gratuity.
Yes. Maggie Dawn, if I may ask a question here, because now you've sort of hit a hot button for me. Bob Menendez, the former, soon-to-be former esteemed senator from New Jersey, was found guilty of corruption charges. My understanding is he accepted $490,000. He accepted 13 gold bars, and he accepted like a $25,000 down payment on a lease for his wife's Mercedes-Benz. That is like 1/10 of what Clarence Thomas has taken in gifts, which he failed to possibly report on his taxes. Failed to put on his disclosure forms. Maggie Dawn, why is Clarence Thomas not the one being convicted on corruption charges? Just asking.
Because he didn't take it from a foreign power. But the interesting situation with both Justice Thomas, but I think almost more acutely with Justice Alito, is that while the total dollar value of what Justice Alito received in terms of those trips and things isn't anywhere near what Justice Thomas has received from his benefactors or the donor class or the billionaire
set.
I got rich friends. A note on that in just a moment. Justice Alito received gifts from someone who then proceeded to have upwards of 10 cases before him in the subsequent years and ultimately decided a case that netted this man somewhere north of $2 billion.
That's real money.
But let's worry about Bob Menendez. I mean, yes, Bob Menendez is a criminal and should go to prison. Yes, and the Supreme Court has lost its legitimacy because of these kinds of situations. A wise mentor once told me, when you enter government service, the friends that you have then are your only friends. In other words, you don't get to, like, upgrade your friend set because you serve in government. You don't get to have richer friends because of that. If they're only your friend because you either met them through your government service or they befriended you afterwards, guess what? Not your friends. They don't get to give you gifts without you disclosing them or paying taxes on them.
Don never gave me anything. I'm lucky if he buys a beer.
I need some new friends. Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Maggie Dawn, our guest.
And friend. Are we friends, Maggie?
Yes,
you say we're friends?
Yes,
I think it was AOC put forward some, an impeachment something that's going to go anywhere. Who would look at these situations and determine that may be criminal or may not be criminal? I mean, they're not going to investigate themselves at the U.S. Supreme Court.
No.
The disclosure, ProPublica, I think, has been doing a great job on identifying all these things. Now, we don't know. Maybe he did claim it on his taxes. This didn't put him on his reports. Disclosures, probably not. Same thing with the other guy who gave the money. You know, was that a write-off? Everything's a write-off, Jerry. But who determines that? I mean, it seems like to me, well, that's something someone should look at. I'm not going to do that. I don't have, you know, prosecutorial authority. Who could do something like that?
So it's really interesting. When you look at a lot of what has transpired over the last, say, 8 to 10 years, we talk about all these things called norms. Well, there's these norms, aren't any actual laws about them. Guess whose behavior we regulate the heck out of, have all kinds of specific laws about? Regular people's behavior. You know, like going into a place and taking something that's not yours and leaving. Those sorts of things. We criminalize the things that apply to middle class and working folks. In other words, things that we see on an everyday basis. But criminalizing corruption and fraud in government and bribery and conflicts of ethics that are simply incompatible with institutional legitimacy,
right,
we're really bad at doing. And it's led to this massive gray area where all of these kinds of arguments can be made. Well, the only ones that can decide what Supreme Court ethics are, the Supreme Court justices.
Well, the Supreme Court justices just gave, President Joe Biden the authority to do anything he wants, right? I mean, if that's the case. I'm serious, man.
Less true.
Who would?
Then they gave themselves the right
to determine.
Whether or not that falls.
Folks, take a note.
In the immune category.
Right? It's 541.
Yep.
I agree with Mike. What the Supreme Court did was announce.
Why make that distinction?
Anoint itself as the final decider of what is immune and what is not immune. That decision provided zero guidance on a meaningful basis to anyone that actually thinks that presidents should be in some way accountable to our system of laws. Zero guidance. I'll tell you, Scalia is rolling over in his grave. The one lauded and held up as this paragon of conservative legal theory was actually a textualist. I think it's a garbage approach to constitutional interpretation, but the man was actually confirmed to that approach. You find the words presidential and immunity together nowhere in the Constitution. It is a thing that they created out of thin air and ephemera. And what they've done is failed to define it with, again, any degree of specificity that would allow people to have confidence in our ability to hold presidents accountable for criminal behavior while in the Oval Office.
Presidents, U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, apparently Congress could be held accountable. Look at Menendez.
Menendez,
the executive branch, apparently no. The U.S. Supreme Court, apparently no. So is the only answer then an overwhelming effort by the citizenry to go out and vote and push the folks that would actually make changes, make legislative changes to the U.S. Supreme Court to expand the court, for example? Is that the only way to hold guys like Thomas accountable?
The largest voting bloc in the United States are people who don't vote, like absorb, okay? To me, the solution, like how do you save a democracy? How do you save our systems? How do you make them accountable again? Is just regular people have to show up and vote. And we have to tell the truth all the time as best we can. Correct our errors, correct what we get wrong, and try to get it right and do better tomorrow. Things like presidential immunity, the Supreme Court saying it can't possibly be subjected to an ethics code. These things regular people know are stupid and wrong. And we need to be fearless in repeating that as many times and saying this is an election about democracy. And there's only one possible option. I don't care if it's Joe Biden at the top of the Democratic ticket, Kamala Harris, or anyone else. I'd vote for a tin can over Donald Trump.
I wish you guys would stop saying that. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine guest. She is Maggie Dawn. Maggie Dawn, 2016 was as much about the Supreme Court
as anything,
as it was about actually putting Trump in the White House. People didn't want Trump as badly as the right wanted to control the Supreme Court. And Ron Johnson won re-election in no small part because of that Supreme Court seat that they held open for a year. Can Biden make this, or the Democratic nominee, but I'm assuming it's Biden, can Biden make this an issue in the same way?
I certainly hope so. I mean, I look back at 2016 and I was enraged by the way the Democratic Party ate itself alive. Like, you couldn't get the Bernie bros to come around on things. It was offensive to me both as a woman and as someone who knew what was at stake on the Supreme Court. We were voting for one thing and one thing only in that election, and that was to preserve some sanity on the Supreme Court. We now see what the results are. Joe Biden can make a similar case to the public. And I'm tired of watching Democrats eat ourselves alive, headline after headline. It's a death by a thousand cuts. Let's get busy with what's actually happening. Sorry, Mike.
No, that's okay. Maggie Dawn, let me draw a distinction because I don't want to be accused of being a Bernie bro.
Oh, but I didn't mean you.
It is, sure. Sure you did. But it is the Democratic Party and the candidate's responsibility to win the hearts and the minds of the voters. It is not our job to blindly fall in line. That's what the other side does. That's what we accuse them of. So when I hear blue no matter who and I'd vote for a dead guy, I would not.
I'm
not going to do that. I certainly understand what's at stake here. But this has many echoes of the 2016 campaign. And if the candidate is unacceptable and doesn't earn the votes, that's on the freaking candidate. Don't blame it on the people that believed in something.
God, can we hold both competing thoughts in our head at the same time and, like, agree that they're probably both true? People, this isn't, I don't vote for a single person that I think is perfect. I vote for a set of platform, a set of policies
You're
on a platform.
You're more pragmatic than a lot of people. A lot of people
well,
say,
well, shouldn't
who
we be
I
making the pragmatic argument? When is the responsibility to stop focusing on the rhetoric and what is easy to say but hard to live the results of?
Let me ask
that
this.
Is an easy argument Maggie to make
Dawn.
Now. It's hard to live with those results.
The president's actions and the events that he did and the speeches and the interviews he's done since that terrible debate. Has he redeemed himself? Has he relieved any concerns that you may have had, or do you think that he's relieved the general population's concerns?
It's a great question, Dom. Two things. First, I think that he's made a compelling case. Is it a definitive one? I don't know that it is. I don't know that he can ever definitively allay every concern that someone
sure,
would have.
Right.
I think it's an unreasonable standard. But I come back to the simple reality that Republicans live by one set of rules and Democrats live by another. In 2016, good faith conservatives said Donald Trump is acceptable because he'll have a good team. We cannot spend any more time cannibalizing our own party and placing the future of our democracy and placing at risk the lives of largely people that look less like you two guys, more like me and more like people of color. We can't make that bet unless you're ready to go all in. You know, ultimately, I guess my answer in a really simple way is that President Joe Biden's going to make that decision. I think he needs to be told the truth. I think he needs to be getting the best information possible. There's been some reporting that he hasn't been. That needs to change. But at the end of the day, it's both the voters and the candidate, Mike.
Why again do you draw the distinction? Why aren't you talking?
Because this guy would vote for the tin can with me.
Oh yeah.
Hey, yeah. I went the other way before. I'm not doing that again.
Yeah.
I voted for Hillary.
Goldstein.
He voted for Gary Johnson, for Christ's sake.
Big mistake.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We are at Kimpali Taqueria, East Brady Street. We've got some people that have showed up at the party, including a MAGA hat wearing CJ.
Boo!
Yeah, booed! Come back! More Devil's Advocates live at a bar.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Last segment of the Kimpali Taqueria Tuesday party. We got a fine guest. She's Maggie Dawn. And we got a fine audience member. Drove all the way from Sun Prairie. Our pal Chris. Chris, welcome to the party. Thanks for making the trip.
Hi, Chris. Hi. It's great to be here. And I just had to come on because I kind of disagree. I don't think this is like 2016 because I think Biden actually did things for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, Bernie laid out this agenda. I was a Bernie delegate. I was out for Bernie in 2020. I went with the Democratic Party because I know what a danger Trump is. But I was really, really impressed by Biden and the things that he did for people, particularly like, you know, raising, you know, children out of poverty and building the roads and, you know, getting broadband out. And I just think he's going to continue doing that. And I really hope people look at what he's done. People with speech impediments have a hard time. He is not an actor. But I don't want an actor for a president. I want a man that does stuff for us.
Let me interrupt you just for a moment, Chris. Bernie Sanders, AOC have both come out and effectively said, hey, we're on the Joe Biden bandwagon. And my thought is Bernie is strategic enough if he can help deliver some of his progressive base for Biden. And Biden needs as many surrogates, as many friends as he can possibly get, needs every single vote.
He does.
If they do help to deliver young progressives, well, Joe Biden has had a fairly progressive agenda, Chris. This could be a very strategic way for Bernie and AOC to help advance the progressive agenda. Do you agree?
I totally agree with that because that's how you get things into the platform. You know, you have to make agreements with people. And when you go to the convention, you can get things in the platform. And that's what we have to talk about. We should be talking about issues right now. And President Biden has a lot of really good plans. And the problem was is we had this control of the government by, you know, the Republicans. I mean, we really have to get back to the democratic process. We really need a balance in our government again. And when we can do that, we can do amazing things. I'm really going to trust him. I trust Bernie. I follow Bernie. I follow AOC. I watch the squad. I read legislation. I actually, you know, people have to get involved. We need everybody. We're really going to need grassroots because we're not going to have the money. So we need everybody out there. We really do. So I just wanted to come on and say, and thank you so much for giving me the opportunity.
So you wanted to come on and disagree with me.
Yes.
That's what you want to do, Chris. Thanks so much to you and Jerry. Let's let Don back on the air. Chris,
thanks
for joining us down here at Kimpali.
Vote for Biden. Vote for Democrats. We're taking our democracy back.
It's amazing what Chris said was that policy matters and that content matters, right?
You would like to think it matters to people of
conscience.
Reasonable thought, but I'm looking down the bar at CJ over here, and he's not looking at
Well, he's going to
policy platforms of the RNC.
Wait. I can't believe I'm going to do this on the radio. CJ isn't saying things because he believes them to be harmful. He believes them to be the right answer. He's incorrect, right? But like CJ's not a bad faith guy. He's arguing in good faith. My problem is he's wrong and he won't look at information.
Well, I'll disagree on that, but let me ask you a question.
One of his sources, Dan O'Donnell, does not argue in good faith, and I hear him do
no,
it often.
Dan O'Donnell's a different beast.
We talked to Earl earlier mm-hmm. today, and we were talking about the changes when the Democratic Party, when Barack Obama was elected, and they fired up a lot of the community. People got out and voted and said, you know, thought their life was going to change, and their lives didn't change, not to the degree they thought it would, you know, whatever the case may have been. And perhaps some folks are disheartened. And how do you think we overcome that thought that, you know, no – whatever I get up and vote, if I go to vote this way or vote that way, at the end of the day, nothing really changes for me attitude.
Well, that might be easy for you to say because you a dude. Like, things absolutely change for me, right? Like, I woke up one day 2 years ago with fewer rights than I did the day before. That's a real thing for women. Infrastructural investments, things that actually help grow economies in states like Wisconsin that actually support family-sustaining middle-class jobs. That matters. There's something – I just saw one of the headlines off of NBC reporting that somewhere north of 58% of PhD-holding American economists agree that inflation would go up substantially if Trump is elected, and that they do not believe the same would be true if Joe Biden is elected. Facts matter. You can say up and down whatever you would like about inflation under Joe Biden. Here's the fact. It is far lower today than it would be had Donald Trump beaten
Joe Biden. The Dems fired
Joe
people
Biden.
Up with Barack Obama, and they said your lives are going to change. And a lot of the folks, their lives didn't change. So you're going to come back again and say your life's going to change.
Well, who made that promise? I never heard Barack Obama stand up and tell people your life is going to be different in 4 years. I never heard Joe Biden say that either. If people have a misconception about what democracy is, here's the reality. It's an incremental system. It never moves as fast as we would like for those of us that advocate for greater health and wellness for the vast majority of people.
Dobbs came down pretty quick.
Yeah, it sure did.
Less so on the immunity.
Less so.
Weird.
I want to know. Thank you so much, Attorney Maggie Dawn. Thank you to our friend Earl Ingram. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Rich, for producing this fine Kampali Taqueria on the road from RNC MKE 2024. Maggie, tomorrow we're joining your fine broadcast. The Devil's Advocates join you at 3 o'clock. We're doing it from the Civic Media Broadcast Milwaukee headquarters for this fine week. We'll come to you tomorrow.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
You got to have some booze for us when we get there.
I'll bring mine. Thank you, Maggie. Check.
Thank you all for listening. The wrap-up
Thank
of
you,
the
folks.
RNC with Todd Alba on Civic Media coming next. Thank you all for listening. Come on down. We'll be here for a while. Kampali Taqueria, East Brady Street in Milwaukee.